Whitney Pittman on the Red River Farm Network. Joining us is Representative Paul Thomas, chair of the House Agriculture Committee in North Dakota. Tell us a little bit about corporate farming laws on its way to Governor Burgum's office here today. What is going on with that law, and what are some of the changes that we'll see in North Dakota if signed by the governor?
Well, yeah, thanks for having me. The overall impact that this will have on North Dakota will be an increased opportunity for North Dakota farm and ranch families to participate in modernized animal feeding operations. We've seen from surrounding states and regions in this country where animal feeding operations have continued to grow in size, principally driven by the efficiencies that come along with increased size, the lack of labor that we face not only in our state but other surrounding regions also has been driving that. And so in North Dakota, when we looked at the past, you know, decades of change in agriculture, we've seen grain farming expand and increase in size and increase in those efficiencies. That correlation hasn't been the same when it comes to retaining ownership of animal livestock and growing the dairy herds or the swine herds in our region. So one of the major changes that we're seeing in production of the crops we're growing was the increase of soybeans and corn. And we've seen ethanol plants now that produce the wet distillers grains and dry distillers grains for feeding. And then also now with the coming on of crush plants in Castleton and also in Jamestown, and possibly more, we're going to see the soybean meal being here as well. So the feed ingredients that are principally located near these animal feeding operations, and then what come along with that is the processing operations as well, we're having that now in North Dakota. And so I think the culmination of all these events has really led, you know, the farm groups, the producers in our state, the industries involved, to all kind of see that we really need to alter our laws and alter our way we look at animal agriculture in North Dakota. And so this bill, 1371, that allows for corporate outside investment into North Dakota family farms and ranches is one of those important tools that will help facilitate that. There were, through negotiations with the farm groups and producers, there was significant safeguards built around this version. It requires that those operations that want to feed animals, you know, retain ownership of livestock, whether it's swine, dairy, poultry, whatever it is, they have to still be owned and controlled principally by North Dakota farm and ranch families. So that was one of the, you know, primary drivers behind the basis of this, that yes, we are open to investment from outside sources, not just, you know, going to your local bank and getting an operating loan, but seeking partners that will help, you know, provide the necessary capital to what's typically seen as younger people being involved in animal agriculture that don't have that capital that's necessary. And so this bill is just one of the tools to do that, along with, you know, as we look at many of the other bills that we passed this session that were put in place to also help communities, townships, counties, cities, all of them to gear up, and whether they choose to, you know, want to be involved in animal agriculture, providing them some of the tools that will help in their communities if they want to do that.
And that was going to be my next question here, was about the stipulations. You answered that for us. So any other...
And if you want, I can expand upon that somewhat too.
Yeah.
There are the safeguards of, you know, whether you're a limited liability corporation, if you choose to form that way, you do have to have a majority ownership by your family farm and ranches, same as the... you know, like a sub-S corporation, same thing. The other provisions that have been put in there, it limits the amount of shareholders. in that corporation. It also limits the size to just be 160 acres, and it limits the scope. The only thing that these animal livestock feeding operations can do is feed and finish livestock. So they can't be involved in grain production or any other farming activities. It's just feeding and finishing of livestock.
So did the final version of this bill really get at the core purpose of it then? Did you hit the goals that you were hoping to?
So from my standpoint, the first version of House Bill 1371 that I introduced did keep it confined to just animal livestock feeding operations. So from that principled standpoint and to the limitations of the amount of land that they can own to do this practice on, those are consistent with the original draft and the original intentions of 1371. The provisions, through working with many of the commodity organizations and the livestock organizations in the state, to get to a place that everyone felt comfortable with it. Those provisions that we put in place to limit the amount of outside capital from corporate investors was a place that we feel is, from what we've heard from industry, when it comes to many of the sectors in animal livestock, it should be a tool that will get us to a point where we're going to be able to grow animal agriculture in North Dakota. Now, time will certainly tell whether, you know, that will happen or not, but from the feedback we've got, we feel that we have a bill that's well supported by the agriculture community in North Dakota, and I think that was also a priority coming into this, is we didn't want to have a situation or a bill that would linger in debate of whether or not it was healthy for North Dakota agriculture. Now, we knew that we'd never get to a point where 100% of the people would agree with everything, and there's no bill that we pass in the body that rarely ever accomplishes that. But I think we have got a bill here and a tool that the majority and a vast majority of those that participated in these discussions and have been involved in providing input really feel comfortable with. So from that aspect, yes, I think we've really got something that we can be proud of, something that we can be excited about, and something that will be used to help grow animal agriculture in North Dakota.
All right. And any other updates from the Ag Committee bills that you're watching as they work through the process here in the last couple weeks of the session?
So we've finished all the conference committees and from bills that did go through either the House or the Senate Ag Committee. Those have all been settled on now. We haven't voted on all of them, but just this yesterday, we did pass out the Soybean Council bill. That was one of the last ones. That bill dealt with the Soybean Council no longer being under the oversight of the state, so it's no longer going to be classified as a state agency, with the ability for them, or the reality that they collect all their checkoff federally, and then they have the federal rules and oversights that they are operating under. The body felt that it was a duplication of government oversight, having both state rules and federal rules. So at the request of the Soybean Council and growers, that bill did make its way through. And then we also had a couple water bills that we passed out here just the other day as well. So we are getting to the end of the agriculture bills. The House and Senate has come to a general compromise on tax relief for North Dakota citizens through both income tax and property tax and homestead credit tax combination bill. And we're hoping to get out of this legislative session this week.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time here. Again, Representative Paul Thomas joining us on the Red River Farm Network.